Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 76.
House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The sergeant-at-arms will close the doors. Members and guests are asked to please silence all electronic devices. This afternoon's prayer will be offered by Representative Garrison. We'd ask members and visitors in the gallery to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Representative Garrison.
Our Father in heaven, thou who art King of kings and Lord of lords, thou who art Alpha and Omega, thou who rules and super rules with all power in thine hand. Father God, we thank thee for thy many, many blessings. We thank thee for the opportunity and privilege to serve in this house chamber. O Lord, we ask you to bless the leadership, bless the members, and bless the support and staff. O God, we ask you to bless the family members of those who serve, for it is only with their support and oftentimes with sacrifice that many members are able to serve. O Lord, we ask that thou instill within us the love for you, and the love for our fellow man that we need, such that we may be able to enact legislation that is pleasing in our sight. For this, prayer we offer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for June 11th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves the journal for June 11th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Members, our nurse of the day with us today is Todd Stevens from Winston-Salem. Mr. Stevens, thanks for being with us today. Please join me in welcoming him. Petitions, memorials, or papers addressed to the General Assembly of the House. The clerk will read.
State of North Carolina, Office of the Governor, dear Mr. White and Ms. Holland, this is written to comply with Section 1 and Section 2, Executive Order Number 107, signed by Governor Hunt, February 20, 1997. I hereby designate LaTonta L.T. McCameron for the Governor's Office of Official to whom delivery of bills can be made under the provision of Section 2, in addition to previously designating employees Lee Lilly, Sally James, and Claudia Shoemaker. Lee Lilly and L.T. McCrimmons shall serve as a designated liaison for the lobby on behalf of this office. Mr. Lilly's office is located in room 1140B of the administration building, and the phone number is 919-814-2027. Ms. McCrimmons' office is located in room 1140C of the administration building, and her phone number is 919-814-2034. Virtually yours, Roy Cooper.
Noted. Ratification of bills and resolutions. The clerk will read.
The enrolling clerk reports the following bill duly ratified for presentation to the governor. Senate Bill 381, an act to reconstitute several boards and commissions held to have unconstitutionally appointed members pursuant to McCrory versus Berger and Cooper versus Berger, and to make clarifications to those boards.
Chapter bills will be noted. Member, a couple of recognitions before we get into some more of our business. First, on motion of Representative Sain of Lincoln County, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Lincoln County Republican Party Chairman Fred Jarrett and the Executive Committee of the Lincoln County Republican Party. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you? Thanks for being with us today. On the motion of the lady from Forsyth, Representative Terry, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Dr. Schillings and students with Wake Forest University's Baptist Medical School research team who are here on opioid addiction. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you as well? Thanks for being with us today. On motion of all members of the delegation of Forsyth County, those being Representatives Montgomery, Terry, Conrad, Lambeth, and Zachary, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Mayor Pro Tem Vivian Burke of Winston-Salem, who is joined also with her son, Superior Court Judge Todd Burke. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you as well? For what purpose is the lady from Durham, Representative Black Rice? Messages from the Senate, Corporal Reed.
Senate Bill 553, Committee Substitute, Third Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to provide further regulatory relief to the citizens of North Carolina.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Rules Calendar and Operations of the House. Representatives Cleveland and Speciale recognize, send forth committee report. Corporal Reed.
Representative Cleveland and Speciale, Home Security, Military, and Veteran Affairs Committee report. House Bill 954, Qualified Disabled Veterans, 10% preference. Favorable committee substitute, unfavorable register bill, and refer to Appropriations General Government.
Original bill, unfavorable calendar, committee substitute, refer to the Committee on Appropriations General Government. Representatives Elmore, Horn, and Johnson recognize, send forth committee report. Corporal Reed.
Representatives Elmore, Horn, and Johnson, Education K-12 Committee Report, Senate Bill 399, Rehire High-Need Teachers, favorable and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Bill is re-referred to Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Bill 227, Board and Charter Schools, Sibling Priority, favorable committee, House Committee Substitute, unfavorable, Senate Committee Substitute, and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Committee Substitute is placed on the unfavorable calendar. House Committee Substitute is re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Bill 366, 9th, 10th grade college transfer pathway, favorable, House Committee Substitute, unfavorable, Senate Committee Substitute, and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Committee Substitute is placed on the unfavorable calendar. The House Committee Substitute number one is referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, Operations of the House. Representatives Corbin and Warren recognize, sent forth committee report. Corporal Reed.
Representatives Corbin and Warren, State and Local Government Committee report. House Bill 407, Swindale Drainage, favorable and referred to Appropriations, Agriculture, and National Economic Resources.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Appropriations, Agricultural, and Natural and Economic Resources.
Senate Bill 84, Walkertown Zoning Authorization, favorable and referred to Finance.
Bill is referred to Finance.
Senate Bill 191, Out of State Law Enforcement, 2020 Rep Convention, favorable and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Bill is referred to Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Bill 194, West Jefferson Satellite Annexation, favorable and referred to Finance.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Finance.
Senate Bill 235, Franklin Nash Municipalities Unfit Dwelling, favorable and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Bill 242, Recreational Land Free Changes, favorable and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Bill 95, Veterans Memorial Fund, do not revert. Favorable House Committee Substitute, unfavorable Senate Committee Substitute number 2, and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
The Senate Committee Substitute number 2 is placed on the unfavorable calendar. House Committee Substitutes referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Representatives Davis and Stevens recognize, send forth committee report. Corporal Reed.
Representative Davis and Stevens, Judiciary Committee report. Senate Bill 556, GSC, People First Language, 2019. Favorable and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 37, Child Sex Abuse, Extend Statute of Limitations, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable register bill, and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar. The committee substitutes referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Bill 425, Clarified DNA Result, would have changes verdict, Favorable House Committee Substitute. Unfavorable release of the bill and refer it to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar. The House Committee Substitute is referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, Operations of the House. Members are going to move on to the calendar at this time. House Bill 228, Corporal Reed.
Representative Murphy, House Bill 228, a bill to be entitled an act to modernize laws pertaining to the North Carolina Medical Board and the practice of medicine. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Pitt, Representative Murphy, recognize to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Speaker. Ladies, in front of you is an agency bill from the Medical Board. Medical Board is the licensing board for physicians and physicians assistants in our state. This bill has been scrubbed and has gone through Health Committee, Finance, Judiciary, and Rules. And basically the impetus for this has not been, the Medical Board has not had an update in probably 14 years. But one of the impetus for this was the infamous and very regrettable actions of Dr. Larry Nassar in Michigan at Michigan State. In which he took advantage of people under his care for sexual abuse. And so what this bill does is it addresses that primarily to make all those offenses that they are required to be reported. Also goes through a bunch of other things, making sure that if there are any problems with the opioid addiction and opioid prescribing, that those are reported. But it tightens up a lot of the language to bring in some of the misdeeds of the community, which is what the medical board is supposed to do, into further in line and gives them traction to help enforce their rules. I would be happy to answer any questions. It's a long and lengthy bill, but it has gone through four committees, and I would ask for your support.
Gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, recognized to send forth an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Pittman moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 18, by deleting those lines.
Gentleman is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a good bill. I like it. I want it passed, but I want it correct, and so I'm offering some grammatical corrections. Four split infinitives I found, and I just think we need to set a good example for these students who are here of having our grammar correct. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House, the adoption of Amendment A1. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Potts, Representative Montgomery. Clerk will machine record the vote. 113, having voted in the affirmative, 1 in the negative, the amendment's adopted. Now back on the bill, further discussion, further debate. For what purpose, gentleman from Rutherford, Representative Rogers Rice?
We're back on the bill or the amendment still? Never mind.
Gentleman wish to be recorded his eye on the amendment.
I do not, and I had a reason that I was going to save, but I'll save it for the next time Mr. Pittman steps up on that.
All right. Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House is the passage of the grammatically correct House Bill 228. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 115, having voted in the affirmative and none of the negative. House Bill 228 passed the second reading. Will without objection. Hear a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 228 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 228, having passed third reading, is ordered engrossed and sent to the Senate. House Bill 1017. The clerk will read.
Representatives Lewis, Bell, Jackson, and Reeves, House Bill 1017, a bill to be entitled an act to redistrict Wake County House of Representatives districts and ordered by the court in NAACP versus Lewis and as drawn by the Special Master of Covington versus North Carolina, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognize debate the bill.
Mr. Speaker, may I propose an inquiry to the chair?
I'm sorry?
May I ask an inquiry of the chair?
Gentleman May.
Would the chair remind the members that this debate is being transcribed by court reporter?
Will do. The chair would remind the members, I think the entire session is actually being transcribed by our court reporter earlier, but would ask for members' debate on this bill, perhaps to maybe talk a little louder and be very clear, because she is attempting to take this down for the purpose of this legislation, and so would remind members of that. The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members, we are here today to correct districts pursuant to a Wake County court order. While I do not agree with the decision of the court, I respect it, and the General Assembly elected not to appeal the case. This is a limited redraw. There are 11 House districts in Wake County. We were required by the court to freeze four of those as they were drawn in 2011. Those four are located along the southern and western edges of the county. So those districts remain exactly as they were drawn in 2011. That leaves seven districts worth of population that this map seeks to apportion. Two of the remaining districts were replacements for two unconstitutional districts. These two are located in the eastern and central part of the county. The special master respected the federal decision on those two seats to the extent that it did not require changes or were not impacted by the frozen 2011 districts. Discretion is limited even further by limitations on split towns, precincts, and compactness adopted as criteria by the redistricting committee. Nearly all of the remaining splits of these entities are located in the 2011 map districts, which we are obligated to retain. After the two objectives have been met, there was a very limited amount of decision making left. This is not necessarily the map that I would have drawn, but considering the limited scope of the case and the limited decision making of the General Assembly working in a collaborative way by leadership of both parties, I think we can all live with this map for the 2020 elections. I do urge your support of this map. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate. For what purpose does the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise?
Speak on the bill.
The gentleman's recognized. Debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First, let me say that this is what I have to say. It is no reflection on anybody else. I will say what I said in 2017 when we had one of these things come through. I refused to vote for it that time because our state constitution says that we do redistricting the year after the census. So that should be 2021. We should not have had to do it in 2017. We should not be having to do it now. If the courts want to tell us how they want to do the process, I have no problem with that. We can take that into account. But I will not, having taken an oath to uphold our state constitution, I will not vote to violate our state constitution. So I'm going to have to vote no. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House, the passage of House Bill 1017 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed to vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 111 having voted in the affirmative and 5 in the negative. House Bill 1017 passed a second reading and will without objection. You're read third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 1017 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. And House Bill 1017 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. Senate Bill 148. Clerk will read.
Senator D. Davis, Senate Bill 148, a bill to be entitled an act to allow law enforcement agencies to disclose and release recordings for purposes of suspect identification or apprehension or to locate a missing or abducted person. General Assembly of North Carolina, next.
Who's handling this bill?
Lady from Pitt, Representative Smith, recognizes to debate the bill.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker and members. In 2016, the General Assembly passed a law outlining when law enforcement agencies could release video. And later, in the city of Greenville, we were delayed in apprehending a suspect because they could not release the law enforcement video. So what this bill does, it authorizes law enforcement agencies to release video recordings for the purposes of suspect identification and apprehension, and to locate missing individuals. This is a tool to be able to help our law enforcement community. It is supported by the North Carolina Police Chief Association, and I am unaware of any opposition at this time, and I ask for your support. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Guilford, Representative Faircloth, rise.
To debate the bill.
Gentlemen, ask for debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, this relates back to the body camera legislation that we did a couple of years ago. This in no way interferes with anything in that particular legislation. It simply clarifies that one of the reasons that an agency can make this available to other agencies is for identification purposes. So I urge you to vote yes on the bill.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 148 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. Senate Bill 148 passed the second reading. Will without objection. Here at third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 148 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 148, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. Senate Bill 151, the clerk will read.
Senators McKinnix, Britt, and Jay Davis, Senate Bill 151, a bill to be entitled an act to increase the punishment for breaking and entering a pharmacy. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Chair directs on 151 be for concurrence as well. Gentleman from Stanley, Representative Sasser, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 151 passed the Senate 40-4 with bipartisan support after a friendly amendment from Senator McKissick, who lowered the penalty in the bill, and I hope for the same bipartisan support here today. Senate Bill 151 would increase the level of offense for breaking or entering a pharmacy with the intent to commit a larceny of a controlled substance, to possess or receive a controlled substance stolen from the pharmacy, to a Class E felony. Currently, this crime is classified as a Class H felony. Professional criminals are targeting pharmacies in their efforts to obtain opioids due to their high street value. The North Carolina Board of Pharmacy has reported a drastic increase in the number of break-ins. These are calculated break-ins and entering crimes by professional criminals and go multi-county and multi-state. Breaking and entering to a pharmacy may seem like a property crime, but it is really a serious crime against our communities. I ask for your support and stand for any questions.
What purpose, gentlemen from Craven, Representative Speciale, rise.
To be recorded as a no vote on House Bill 1017.
The gentleman will be recorded as having voted no on House Bill 1017. Any further discussion or debate on Senate Bill 151? If not, question for the House, passage of Senate Bill 151 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Majeed, would the gentleman like to record? Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 113 having voted in the affirmative and 3 in the negative. Senate Bill 151 passes second reading. Will without objection. Be read third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 151 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 151 having passed third reading is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. Senate Bill 219, the clerk will read.
Representatives McKinnis, Tillman, Johnson, Senate Bill 219, a bill to be entitled An Act to Modify Teacher Licensing Requirements, General Assembly, North Carolina Annex.
Gentleman from Wilkes, Representative Elmore, recognize to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 219 that you have in front of you is a blend of two bills dealing with licensure issues, pieces from the Senate and also pieces from the House. The piece from the Senate passed 46-2, and the sections that we have already voted on in the House passed 108-0. What these modifications will do will help our HR departments be able to hire and keep hired teachers in relation to their licensing issues. It addresses the examinations for the initial licensed teacher, basically the new teacher. Also, if they're performing well, they can get an extension, but we get information directly from the local level administration. It also makes modifications to out-of-state license folks that are licensed in other states. Basically, it creates a new, what is called a transitional license, and also it modifies the lifetime license. Currently, you would get a lifetime license as a teacher if you have taught for 50 years. We actually, in this, lowers it to 30 years. So if you have 30 years of service, you would be able to obtain a lifetime license. And the end of the bill gives emergency rulemaking power to the State Board of Education to be able to meet the requirements of this law in a timely fashion, because we're right in the season of renewing contracts and hiring new teachers. So I appreciate your support on the bill.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 219 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Blackwell, is the gentleman wish to record? The clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. Senate Bill 219 passes second reading. Will without objection be read third time?
General Assembly of North Carolina Annex.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 219 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 219 having passed third reading will be returned to the Senate for concurrence. Senate Bill 448. Clerk will read.
Senator Brown, Senate Bill 448, a bill to be entitled an act to amend the requirements for an individual appointed to compact commissioner under the Interstate Imp Compact on Education Opportunity for Military Children. Johnson of North Carolina.
Gentleman from Wake, Representative Martin, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Members, this is Senator Brown's companion bill to a bill that Representative Cleveland, Representative Bell and I introduced that passed the House 114-0. It hasn't changed at all. The bill simply makes some slight changes to the requirements for the person that serves as a compact commissioner from North Carolina on the Interstate Compact on Educational Opportunities for Military Children. Unaware of any opposition, and would appreciate your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 448 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Warren, aye. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. Senate Bill 448 passes second reading. Will without objection be read third time?
General Assembly of North Carolina Annex.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 448 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 448, having passed its third reading, is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. Senate Bill 500, the clerk will read.
Senator Smith, Tillman, and Chaudhary. Senate Bill 500, a bill to be entitled an act to make certain modifications to the implementation of advanced math courses offered when practicing the sixth grade or higher. General Assembly of North Carolina Annex.
The lady from New Hanover, Representative Grange, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill clarifies requirements for advanced math course placement. And Mr. Speaker, at this time I'd like to yield to Representative Elmore to put forth a friendly amendment.
We can do that. Does the lady wish to debate the bill any further, or is that the extent of it?
I'm not sure how much the bill is changed by the amendment, so I'd need to hear it first.
Very well. Representative Elmore, recognize and send forth an amendment. Clerk will read.
Representative Elmore moves to amend the bill on page 1, lines 24 through 27 by rewriting the lines to read.
Gentleman is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 500 and the PCS got quite a bit of a discussion in the Education K-12 Committee. Some of the members of the committee felt like with the policy change that we were moving backwards in what we were trying to do. This deals with a piece of legislation that we passed last year to ensure that children, regardless of race, creed, where they live, et cetera, are able to get advanced math courses, which it passed in a bipartisan way, and we very much support that. But what we are trying to do is ensure that this is happening statewide, and we can't guarantee that at this point because we don't know what resources are needed at the local level with the systems that are not doing this at this time. So this amendment basically clarifies this to where we're not moving backwards on our policy, but we're getting proper reporting from the systems that are not offering it. There's about 100 middle schools, and we want to know why you're not offering it. What limitations do you have on why you can't? And through that reporting, we'll have a better judge on what we need to do in short session, if anything, to make sure that not only we're allowing access for all children, but we know that all kids statewide will have this opportunity. So I think this amendment hits the sweet spot with this from the discussions in Education K-12. So I appreciate your support.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A1. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Warren, aye. Clerk will machine record the vote. 115 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. The amendment is adopted. Representative Grange is recognized to debate the bill a second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What this bill does is, as I said before, it clarifies the advanced math course enrollment. Some of the things that it does is it eliminates the requirement that seventh grade students who score at the highest level be enrolled in a high school math course in eighth grade, and that's basically because not all middle schools offer a high school math course. It requires that parents be adequately informed that the student's advanced learning opportunity or advanced course placement was due to their achievement in prior math courses. It requires the Department of Public Instruction to submit an annual report on the number and demographics of students who are eligible to take these advanced math courses. It also requires local boards of education to offer advanced learning opportunities in third through fifth grade, not separate courses, but within their current day-to-day curriculum. And it also requires DPI to provide guidance to local boards of education on how to best develop the programming for the advanced math course placement and enrollment. And I stand for questions.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 500. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Corbin, do you wish to vote? Clerk will machine record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative, none the negative. Senate Bill 500 passed the second reading. Will without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 500 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 500 having passed third reading is ordered engrossed and returned to the Senate for concurrence. Senate Bill 648. Clerk will read.
Senators Sanderson and Rabin, Senate Bill 648, a bill to be entitled an act to provide further support to the shellfish agricultural industry in North Carolina. General Senator of North Carolina next.
Gentleman from Person, Representative Yarbrough, recognize debate the bill.
This bill comes about as the result of a study by the Collaboratory that resulted from some issues that came out of session last year. The Collaboratory was asked to study what can we do to help our oyster farming industry, as well as avoid some of the conflicts that have been going on. The public waters that are being leased for these oyster farms belong to every citizen of the state, and yet we also want to support this industry. It was presented to the AGNR Oversight Committee, and it is a result of work from several committee members, myself included. A couple of things that it does is it creates enterprise areas. These would be areas that are identified ahead of time that would be ideal for oyster leases with a minimal amount of conflicts with other user groups. One of the biggest conflicts last year was a large company that was asking for 200-acre leases. What we've come up with is a pilot project in the Pamlico Sound that would allow 3 50-acre leases owned by different individuals, and a report to see how the larger leases work and whether that creates more conflicts. An area that that did get a little bit of a controversy was production requirements. The Collaboratory had looked at what they do in Virginia and Louisiana, and that is more successful than what we do here, and recommended some fairly strict production requirements. This also is to not allow someone to just take up a lease and sit on it and not actually use it. Like I said, these are public trust waters. We ended up coming up with much lower production requirements to allow smaller farmers that might be struggling to get going to meet the needs. This did have a lot of stakeholders, particularly in this part of the bill. The summary does describe the rest of it pretty well. There were a few issues that couldn't be settled, and the Department of Marine Fisheries has been asked to look into these some more, and hopefully we'll have another bill next year to improve oyster farming. I'm open to questions.
For what purpose, gentleman from New Hanover, Representative Davis, rise.
Speak on the bill.
Gentleman's recognized. Debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, this bill contains a moratorium for New Hanover County that was requested by the people who live in that area, and I ask you to please support it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 648 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk lock machine record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. Senate Bill 648 passed the second reading and will without objection. You're at third time.
General Senator North County next.
Question for the House, the passage of Senate Bill 648 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 648 having passed third reading is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. Members, for your planning purposes, tomorrow's session will be at 2 p.m. For what purpose, gentlemen from Wayne, we're now in notices and announcements. Gentlemen from Wayne, Representative Bell, recognized for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Republicans, remember we do have a caucus immediately after session, so please be prompt. I won't take it much of your afternoon, but please be prompt. Thank you. 5:44.
For what purpose, gentlemen from New Hanover, Representative Davis, rise.
For announcement.
Gentlemen's recognized for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, and especially members of the Judiciary Committee, we will be meeting tomorrow at 10 o'clock in room 544. There will be one bill to be heard. That's House Bill 929, Gaming Commission. So please be there promptly, and we'll get it over with as soon as we can. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the lady from Johnson, Representative White, rise?
For an announcement.
Lady has four for an announcement.
Would like to invite everyone to come to the Life Science Caucus tomorrow at 7:30 in the cafeteria. Breakfast will be served, and we will be meeting with our agricultural folks, and we appreciate your attendance.
For what purpose does the lady from Buncombe, Representative Fisher, rise?
For a point of personal privilege, Mr. Speaker.
Ladies recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I just wanted to bring to your attention the loss of a very important person in the Asheville community, Lewis Isaac. He died on June 2nd. His memorial was last weekend. And he and I served together on the Asheville City Board of Education. And he was only 70 years old, and it was a sudden, sort of an unexpected complication due to cancer. So I just wanted to bring him before the body in memory and let you know just a few of the things that he was involved with. He was a school board member. He was on the American Red Cross board. He was part of the Asheville Housing Authority, Asheville Parks and Rec, Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. He just was everywhere all the time, and he will be sorely missed, and I just wanted to bring that to your attention. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, colleagues.
Thank you. For what purpose the gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Montgomery, rise?
Mr. Speaker, having submitted a representative statement with the clerk, I ask that it be read in its entirety upon adjournment and spread across the journal, and would like to be recognized to speak to the statement.
So ordered in terms of the reading of the representative statement, and the gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Mr. Speaker and colleagues, I rise at this moment to recognize a stalwart of the Winston-Salem Forsyth County community, none other than Ms. Mayor Pro Tem Dr. Vivian H. Burke, whom for the last 10 years I had the honor to serve with on the Winston-Salem City Council. Vivian H. Burke has served as a council member for the Northeast Ward, the Winston-Salem, North Carolina City Council since 1977, and Mayor Pro Tem six times, and was the first African-American elected official to sit as an at-large member on the board of directors of the North Carolina League of Municipalities, and has rendered distinguished service in her community through participation in numerous and diverse volunteer organizations, including Chair of Public Safety Committee, Tourism Development Authority, the North Carolina Mental Health Board, the Piedmont System Health Board, the Transportation Advisory Committee, the Piedmont Triad Partnership, in addition to being one of the founding members of the Black Political Awareness League, the North Carolina Black Elected Municipal Officials, and created multiple scholarship foundations in the Burke Joint Scholarship, which helps deserving students to attend Forsyth Technical Community College, made three marketing and communication videos chronicling the history of African-American businesses, churches, and schools in Winston-Salem, and developed What Is in a Name, book used by the Winston-Salem Forsyth County School System. And as volunteers for the Heart Fund, the United Negro College Fund, the Patterson Avenue and Glade Street YWCA, and the March of Dimes, as well as Winston-Salem Forsyth County Schools, and is an active member of the Grace Presbyterian Church, where she is an elder and trustee. Dr. Burke has been the recipient of numerous awards, such as the Order of the Longleaf Pine and a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Urban League, was honored with the creation of the Vivian H. Burke Business and Economic Scholarship established at Winston-Salem State University, and has received honorary doctorate degrees from four institutions, including Elizabeth City State University, her alma mater. Having served with her for nearly 10 years on the Winston-Salem City Council, being the youngest member in the history of the City Council, serving with the longest member in the history of the City Council, I salute her for her service and her willingness to invest and sow into the next generation of leadership, as well as always remaining to be someone in the community who was a stalwart and continues to speak up for the least of those in our community. And so I thank you, colleagues, and she was here early. She was not here early when we recognized and called her name, and she's also joined today by her son, who is a Superior Court judge in Forsyth County, and I'd like for our colleagues to salute her today. Thank you.
Chair will recognize, we did recognize our guests earlier, but they weren't here, so on motion of all members of the Forsyth County delegation, Chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Mayor Pro Tem Vivian Burke of Winston-Salem and her son, Superior Court Judge Todd Burke. Thanks for being with us today. For what purpose does the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Alexander, rise?
Mr. Speaker, having submitted a representative statement with the clerk, I ask that it be read in its entirety upon adjournment.
So order.
And spread across the journal, and would like to be recognized to speak to the statement.
Gentleman is recognized.
50 years ago, I believed that admission standards did not need to be lowered to admit minority students to Carolina. I believed that because of segregation, qualified minority students simply did not think of Carolina as a realistic alternative. Along with three other students, we conceived an experience-based program that rejected the then prevalent theory of affirmative action based upon admission standards being modified or lowered or thought to be too stringent to have large numbers of minority students attending Carolina. 50 years later, over 35,000 high school students have attended Project Uplift, significant percentages of which have either been admitted to Carolina or gone on to other universities. Project Uplift was and remains a student-led initiative, which at this juncture is recognized as one of the most successful minority recruitment initiatives in the country. Members, please join with me in recognizing 50 years of continuous achievement and recruitment. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Alexander. For what purpose does the gentleman from Macon, Representative Corbin, rise?
For announcement.
Gentleman asks for an announcement.
It is the desire of the elected members of the Senate and the House from the Western North Carolina counties of the state to be recognized as the Western North Carolina Mountain Caucus. Our mission is to work together in a nonpartisan fashion to better understand the needs of each legislator from the mountains. Two, to help foster and support legislation to support mountain region, and to identify areas of concern or interest that are common to the mountain legislators in North Carolina. Elected leadership of this caucus is Representative Kevin Corbin and Senator Jim Davis. Counties included are Alexander, Allegheny, Ash, Avery, Buncombe, Burke, Cherokee, Clay, Graham, Haywood, Henderson, Jackson, Macon, Madison, McDowell, Mitchell, Pope, Rutherford, Stokes, Surrey, Swain, Transylvania, Watauga, Wilkes, and Yancey. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Any further notices or announcements? Seeing none, the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn to reconvene Thursday, June 13th at 2 o'clock p.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Lewis moves, seconded by Representative McGrady, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene. June 13th at 2 p.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. We stand adjourned.
Senate Bill 219, having passed today, be sent to the Senate by a special message.
Representatives Dixon, Brisson, and Strickland send forth a committee report. Committee on Agriculture. Clerk will read.
Representatives Dixon, Brisson, Strickland, Agriculture Committee report. House Bill 421, promote North Carolina sawmills. Favor committee substitute. Unfavorable mention of the bill. We refer to rules. Calendar operates at the House.
Consider referral to rules was stricken, and the committee sub is referred to finance. If favorable, rules. Clarify on House Bill 421, the original bill will go on the unfavorable calendar. Representative statements, the clerk will read.
A representative statement honoring Vivian H. Burke for her service to Winston-Salem. Whereas Vivian H. Burke has served as a council member for the Northwest Ward of Winston-Salem, North Carolina since 1997 and as mayor pro tem for six times, was the first African-American elected official to sit at large member of the board of directors of the North Carolina League of Municipalities. And whereas Vivian H. Burke has rendered distinguished service in her community through participation in numerous and diverse volunteer organizations, including the Public Safety Committee, Tourism Development Authority, the North Carolina Mental Health Board, the Piedmont Systems Health Board, the Transportation Advisory Committee, and the Piedmont Trade Partnership. In addition to being one of the founding members of the Black Political Awareness League at North Carolina Black Elected Municipal Officials. And whereas Vivian H. Burke created multiple scholarship foundations, including the Burke Jones Scholarship, which helped deserving students to attend Forsyth Technical Community College, made three marketing and communications videos chronicling the history of African-American businesses, churches, and schools in Winston-Salem, and developed the What in the Name book used by Winston-Salem Forsyth County School System. And whereas Vivian H. Burke also volunteered for the Heart Fund, the United Negro College Fund, Patterson Avenue, Glade Street YWCA, and the March of Dimes, as well as the Winston-Salem Forsyth County Schools, and is an active member of the Grace Presbyterian Church, where she is an elder and trustee. And whereas Vivian H. Burke has been a participant in numerous awards, such as the Order of the Longleaf Pine, the Lifetime Achievement Award from the Urban League, and was honored with the creation of the Vivian H. Burke Business and Economic Scholarship established in Winston-Salem State University, and has received honorary doctorate degrees from four institutions of higher learning, including Elizabeth City State University, her alma mater. Now, therefore, Vivian H. Burke deserves to be recognized and honored for her many years of public service and contribution to improving the lives of those in her community, in witness whereof the undersigned certifies that the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed upon a journal on the 12th day of June 2019, submitted by Representative Montgomery, James White, Principal Clerk. Representative statement celebrating Project Uplift 50th anniversary. Whereas Project Uplift was founded upon the principle that knowledge of and exposure of University of North Carolina Chapel Hill experience would encourage high school students from families that had never considered applying for UNC to do so. And whereas the founders of Project Uplift believe that university admission standards did not have to be modified to increase the number of students from underserved groups attending the university, and whereas Project Uplift, conceived in 1968 and executed the following year, is the longest running and most successful student-led recruitment initiative in the United States, and whereas Project Uplift is an immersed experience where high school students are exposed to both an academic and social dimension of university life, and whereas since 1969, over 35,000 highly qualified and talented high school students have visited UNC Project Uplift and Uplift Plus, and whereas 51.5% of Uplift participants applied to UNC were admitted, and 94% of Uplift Plus participants were applied or admitted. Now, therefore, it is important to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Project Uplift with the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill community. In witness whereof, the undersigned certifies that the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed upon a journal on the 12th day of June 2019, submitted by Representative Kelly Alexander, James White, Principal Clerk.
Special message from the Senate, Senate Bill 377, Committee Sub, Military Base Protection Act. The bill will be referred to Rules.